Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
The golden text of the Bible, someone's definition of John chapter 3 at verse 16. And I must agree with that. You know, just as the second chapter of the book of Acts is somewhat the hub of the Bible, that is, from the fall of man, God's promise of human redemption, and that would be through the gospel. And for the first time in the history of the world, the gospel and all of its saving power and beauty was proclaimed on that particular Pentecost described in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Human redemption made available through the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. And beyond Acts, the second chapter, everything looks back, somewhat the hub of the Bible. But when you talk about John 3, verse 16, you're speaking of the very essence of the Bible. Why we have the Bible. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, the depth of meaning in that little adverb of minor S-O has never been fathomed. I cannot comprehend the length, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God fully. I can appreciate it. I believe it with all my heart. But I cannot fathom the depths of God's love for man. God's primary concern for humanity is the eternal well-being of this crowning creation. Man made in the image and the likeness of God should live forever in the divine presence. And that was God's initial purpose. That's why He created man in His own image. But man is in a fallen estate. There's not a righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7 at verse 20. We read that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 at verse 23. And just as Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And that's true of humanity, Old and New Testaments. From the fall of Adam, man has been alienated from God. But friends, this John 3:16, so loved you and me, fallen humanity, sinners. I remember when Adam transgressed that prohibition in Eden. He and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit. God had warned them, Genesis 2, verse 17, as we've noted many times, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They became subject to physical death, but more than that, paradise was lost. Man was alienated from God. Therefore, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed on to all men, for that all have sinned. Romans chapter 5 at verse 12. Each person, of course, responsible for his relationship to the Almighty. Oh, but man is in an estate today that necessitates God's grace in cleansing him from his sin. God has made every preparation commensurate with his deity for man's reconciliation. Well, that promise of Genesis 3, verse 15, very familiar. God is addressing the devil, actually. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, down through the stream of time, God ultimately sent his Son into the world. And since then, the children are sharers in flesh and blood. He also himself partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Now, what was the promise of Genesis 3:15? The seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would bruise the head of Satan a fatal blow. Now, he'd have to suffer in so doing, and described, of course, by the term a bruised heel. How did Jesus overcome Satan? Well, Jesus came to do the will of the Father, as Psalms 40, verse 7, or Hebrews 10, at verse 7. And in so doing, he gave himself the innocent for the guilty, and he died in my stead. Now, that would sound as if he had failed completely, and you could almost hear the laughter of Satan on that little hill outside Jerusalem when Jesus gave up the ghost. However, 3 days later, He won the victory that conquered Satan completely. What was it the Hebrew writer said? Well, since we are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself partook of the same. I remember that Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 5, "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, he came and took upon himself flesh and blood, just as you and I." Oh, he became obedient unto death. Yea, the death of the cross. You see, that was essential if I am to stand in a right relationship with God. For the wages of sin is death, and I have but one life. I can't pay the penalty for my transgression, but the innocent, pure, guiltless Son of God voluntarily gave up equality with the Father, came to this earth, took upon himself flesh and blood, and ultimately died to redeem my soul. Now, in so doing, he rendered Satan powerless. Now, someone is going to say, "You mean Satan has no influence today? He has no power to enter the lives of people?" Oh, no. Satan is very active in our world, and that, of course, is evident. However, if I desire to follow in the footsteps of Christ, he has given me the strength and the ability to overcome the temptations of this old world. He has given me the ability to negate Satan's influence in my life. What was it Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10? "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil." He said, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Well, we understand that. So he continued, "Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and take the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons, watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. "This is the way that I thwart the attempts of Satan to lead me astray. I have armed myself with the sword of the Spirit. At the same time, I have on the armor of God that protects me. Now, since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he himself took upon himself this very same nature. He was tempted of Satan just as I am. He became tired. He grew hungry. He became thirsty. He understands my situation. He knows about my limitations and my weaknesses. He understands the power of Satan in this old world to influence men to do that which displeases the Almighty. So he understands our situation. As a matter of fact, he understands the both sides of the alienation equally well. He is deity, Emmanuel, which is God with us, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Oh, but he also understands the human side. So he understands both sides of the alienation of man from God equally well. How, though, did he make reconciliation? How was this possible? Took upon himself flesh and blood, that he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver all them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How did he do that? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 tells us that he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, I need to understand, when he says he abolished death, people get the idea, oh, we don't have to die physically. No. Physical death is just a transition that occurs, and in both the vegetable and the animal realm. We needn't be concerned about that. No, the death from which he saves us is eternal separation from God, without a single blessing from God, in the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, Jesus, through the gospel, saved me from that, if I allow him to do so. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So when you read of the love of God, the preparation that He made for human redemption, the sending of His precious Son to die in our stead, Him who knew no sin, He made to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 21. So you conclude that we are saved by grace. Oh, there is no question about that, friends. I do not deserve even the smallest portion of the love of God. I do not deserve the salvation made available at the awful sacrifice of His Son. Jesus died not just by firing squad or decapitation. No, no. He died by crucifixion, the terrible means of executing the very scum of the earth. Jesus gave His life to redeem my soul. I don't deserve that. That is the unmerited favor of God. Now, having said that, let me say this. There are a few good people today, not bad people, good people, misinformed, and their concept is that we're saved altogether by the grace of God. Man has no part in his salvation. It's altogether by the unmerited favor of the Almighty. Now, friends, when you study the Scripture, as we suggested from 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly divide the Word of God. You know that couldn't be true because it would be a violation of other things that God has said in His divinely inspired Word. You see, where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is a force where there hath been death, for it doth never avail while he that made it liveth. Hebrews 9:16-17. Christ died to validate his covenant. Now, everything in this last will and testament of Christ is in harmony with every other thought herein. So if you find what appears to be a contradiction, just remember, you do not understand all that God has said, for there are no contradictions in this book. Saved by grace? Well, there's no question about that. That's it. Had it not been for the grace of God, there would be no hope of human redemption. God's grace made available the means of my salvation. Isn't that what Paul said, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9? He said, for by grace have you been saved through faith. Now, wait. What is this, Paul? Saved by grace. There's no question about that. Oh, but there is something else involved also in my salvation. For by grace, that's God's part, unmerited favor, have you been saved through faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen, Hebrews 11, of course, at verse 1. But God doesn't have faith. No, no. God is omniscient. That is, He is all-knowing. So He doesn't have faith. He knows everything. Well, then, faith is man's part. That's correct. So how are we saved? For by grace have you been saved through faith. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? I remember in Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Now, if you stop right there, it sounds as if all men are going to be saved by the grace of God. Now, just a moment. You know that is not the case, because Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter ye in at the narrow gate. For broad is the gate, and wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Oh, but narrow the gate, and straiten the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Just a moment. Lord, you say most people are on the broad way that leads to eternal ruin, eternal destruction. Most people are lost. Well, that's correct. But how could that be if the grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men? Well, you see, that statement there, Titus 2:11, the grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men, we've noticed many times the next word, instructing us. Wait. The grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men through a system of instruction. Why, certainly. What is the instruction through which God's grace provides for human redemption? Romans 1 at verse 16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So then, the grace of God does not, without qualification, save everyone. Oh, why, certainly not. Very few people are going to be saved. But then, well, it's very simple, friends. The grace of God provided the means of human redemption. Everything essential to the salvation of every responsible soul on earth is made available by the grace of God. Oh, but most people reject it. Most people won't receive it. Well, that's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, isn't it? For by grace have you been saved. Grace only? No. For by grace have you been saved through faith. Faith appropriates the benefits supplied by the grace of God. Well, now someone said, just a minute, preacher. There in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, most people are lost. Most are in the broad way that leads to eternal ruin. Someone says, that's because they won't believe in the grace of God. No, that's not the case. Most of the people on the Broadway are deeply religious, very sincere and dedicated. Oh, they teach in the name of Christ. Well, someone says, how can you say that? Oh, same context, just to read right on. Beware of false teachers who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. And he goes on to explain that every good tree brings forth good fruit, the evil tree brings forth evil fruit, and a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor an evil fruit. Evil tree, good fruit. Why no? Oh, and then he said, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now listen to him. Many will come unto me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, teach, in thy name cast out demons, in thy name do many mighty works? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, just a moment. Lord, you said here in verses 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, that most people are in the broad way that leads to destruction. That's right. Well, is that because they are reprobates and ungodly and immoral? No. As a matter of fact, most of them are religious people. They are very sincere in the misdirection that they have embraced. They simply are not doing what the Lord said do. Teach in the name of Christ? Right. Do many mighty works? That's correct. What did he say to them? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So then, why are most people in the broad way that leads to eternal destruction when the grace of God has provided through the death and resurrection of His Son for my salvation? Oh, they don't pay any attention to what He said. You see, the grace of God hath appeared bringing salvation to all men through a system of instruction. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So we've illustrated this, demonstrated this, shown this to be true time and time again, have we not? Why, sure. God's grace provides the instruction, provides the means. Genesis chapter 6, we've been here many times. You remember, man's days will be 120 years. Due to man's wickedness, God is going to destroy all in whose nostrils is breathed the breath of life with a great flood. Now, verse 8 tells us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. That's true. What does grace do? Oh, God said to Noah, make thee an ark. Make it of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch. Three decks, one door in the side thereof. One window to a cubit upward shalt thou finish it. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. What did Noah do? Verse 22, Genesis 6. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, what does God call that? Hebrews 11 at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Oh, God only calls that faith which does what he requires or commands. Why, certainly. Well, what does grace do? Grace gives instruction. What does faith do? Follows the instruction. It appropriates the benefits supplied by the grace of God. That's impossible until we submit to the instruction provided by God's grace. What was it Paul said? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? Oh, for by grace have you been saved through faith. And that, and the antecedent of that, is salvation. Not of yourself. No. Free gift of God. Romans 6, verse 23. We understand that. Yes, sir. Oh, but how do I receive it? How do I appropriate the salvation made available? Oh, by faith. What does faith do? It does what God said. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, friends, when you really think about salvation from sin, God has done everything within His power. Everything. No stone has been left unturned. God so loved you and me that He suffered the agony of His Son dying on a cross to make possible our salvation. God has done all within His power. His grace has provided salvation for all men. Titus 2, verse 11, as we noted. Oh, Jesus Christ has done all that He can do. He abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, as we noted at verse 10. And we also noted that He died to validate His testament, His covenant, Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. What more can deity do to provide for my salvation? Nothing. Everything possible has been done. Well, then why are most men in the broad way that leads to eternal destruction? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. As the Lord pointed out there. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken them unto a wise man building his house upon a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Friends, it's a matter of faith. You see, faith complies with the Lord's instruction. That's the only thing the Lord calls faith. The idea of salvation by faith only is, of course, preposterous. It can't be demonstrated. The existence of it just doesn't appear. You can't make manifest faith only. No, no. Faith is an intangible that's shown by the activity of the one possessing it. Oh, the faith that saves comes from hearing the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Right. Faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Then how is saving faith demonstrated? Just do what the Lord said. Do what the Lord said. And it is dangerous to procrastinate. How many people put, Jehovah's arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities have hid His face from you so that He will not hear. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Now, I remember that Paul reasoned of righteousness, self-control, the judgment to come with Felix, the Roman governor. And Felix said, verse 25, Matthew chapter 24, go thy way for now, Paul. When I have a convenient season, I'll call thee unto me. No convenient time. I remember 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Why the urgency? James 4, verse 14. What is your life? It is as but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's the 17th verse of that context. I remember that Job said, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble, cometh forth as grass and is cut down, fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Friends, life is very brief. Don't put off obedience to the Lord's instruction. What did He say? He said, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. John 8, 24, Christ speaking. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 at verse 6. I remember that Jesus said to believers, except you repent, you'll perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. And I recall the Apostle Peter telling those men who believed his message, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. They had said in verse 37, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's for or unto the remission of your sins. Very simple instruction. Why is this provided? The grace of God. Oh, but why did He clothe it in terminology that seems to the average person to be useless? The connection between remission of sins and being dipped in the water? There's none, from a physical standpoint. No, no. Salvation is by faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. when you do what God said. Oh, God calls that faith, Hebrews 11 at verse 7, coupled with Genesis chapter 6 at verse 22. Friends, give it thought.
Do you enjoy studying the Bible? Maybe something said today by Brother Watkins has made you desire to study more about God's Word. We have available to you, free of charge, a series of Bible lessons. These lessons begin with Bible basics, and by completing each one, you will gain a better understanding of God's Word. If you are interested in receiving a free audio cassette tape of today's program, contact us by calling 1-800-683-3120, or you can email us at ptgwjw@aol.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 1484, Dalton, Georgia, 30722. Please note the program number you see on your screen when you are ordering an audio cassette tape. Sometimes individuals contact us wanting to know more about the Church of the New Testament. Perhaps you want information of the Church of Christ. Contact us if this is your desire. Preaching the Gospel has been brought to you by the members of the Church of Christ and is under the oversight of the elders at Highland Church of Christ in Dalton, Georgia. And now, back to James Watkins.
Someone has said that procrastination is the thief of time. Well, of course, we understand that to be true. And why do we not comply with the Lord's instruction? Now, we know that it's true. And ultimately, sooner or later, in the back of our minds, we intend to do that. Friends, time passes rapidly. And like Job said, we come forth as grass, we're cut down. Some die in early years. Many live for a long time. Oh, but 100 years upon this earth is a very short period of time. Don't put off what you know the Lord would have you do to be saved. He wants you to be saved. That's why He allowed His Son to die. That's what His unmerited favor, the grace of God, is all about. Ah, that's why the depth of meaning in that little word so in John 3:16 cannot be fathomed. How wonderful indeed the love of God. Friends, obey the Lord. Give your life.